97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Thanks for listening. We got Mark Cox, Carl Middleman. We like to call Mark Big Fish. That's his childhood nickname, and there's reasons behind that. We got Carl, the intern. Carl, the intern. He's the executive producer for Crying Out Loud. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your number one stop for suppressing a firearm. And they've got a great selection of weapons of war on the wall. It's really a great store if you've never been. I actually had a rifle repaired there recently, which was outstanding. A great experience. But check them out at RazorbackArmory.com or find them on Manchester Road next to the tennis shop and tell them Bo sent you in.
Sounds good. You know, that music you heard there leading in, as Carl brings it back up, is Divine Sorrow, a local band. Very well known to many of us, and my friend Brian Chappelle is on the phone with us this morning. He happens to be the bass player and the lead singer and sometimes the roadie and the cook. I mean, he does it all. That's not all. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you gentlemen this morning?
We are doing just fine, buddy. Had a great time with you the other night. Aaron Hagar was in town, Sammy's son, and made an appearance out at the Funny Bone in St. Charles. Divine Sorrow got to warm up the crowd and then play some Montrose and some old Sammy Hagar heavy metal, and they had great time. And Aaron Hagar sounds just like his dad, doesn't he, Brian?
He's, you know, on top of that, he does sound like his dad. But on top of that, he is such an incredibly good human being.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know, I've been in this business a while. I've met hundreds and hundreds of rock stars, and I'm going to tell you, there's only been a few I didn't like, but for the most part, they're pretty good. But I'm going to tell you, Aaron is an exceptional human being.
He really was.
Sounds just like his dad, huh?
He is amazing. I'll play it for you, Bo, when I see you tonight. But it's amazing how much he sounded like him on a couple of those songs, like Bad Motor Scooter. I mean, I'm just closing my eyes and I'm hearing Sammy Hagar from 25 years ago. I mean, it sounded just like him. But he was very down to earth. Well, I went to the meet and greet, and he just hanging out, standing around like everybody else puts their pants on just like he does. I mean, he's just really that kind of guy.
Dude, I've got to get a new phone because my phone did not ring with the invitation to join you for this night. What? Honey, I need a new phone.
I'll put you on the Divine Sorrow guest list next time.
Exactly. Okay. I was sort of on the Divine Sorrow guest list, so I appreciate that.
He found his way in on the edge.
So Bo is introducing everybody here by their nickname, and I guess, Brian, your nickname is Chappie. That's what you people call you?
That's been my name my whole life, playing hockey, all my buddies. You know, everybody just calls me Chappie. I'm either Happy Chappie or super unhappy Chappie.
Yeah. Oh, no. Chappie, so we're all good about nicknames here. Yep.
You don't want to meet unhappy Chappie, I'm guessing.
I'm bigger than I look.
So the reason that we invited Brian on today, the reason I invited him on, is that I'm having a conversation with him one day. Just, you know, we're listening to music and we're having this conversation, and he brings up to me that one of his passions is teaching people how to truly be prepared in the event that things go sideways. I'm not talking about, you know, maybe it just a civil unrest or something, but somebody kicks in your door in the middle of the night. How prepared are you to deal with that situation? So, Brian, kind of set up for people how you arrived at the point where you are today, where you're ready to help your friends and people understand what that risk is.
I'm a true patriot to this country. I've been watching for literally the last two decades, just kind of seeing so many things change in our environment around us, and a lot of unrest and a lot of uncertainty with even in between our own citizens. And, you know, any time in history, if you studied it, you realize that the chances for unrest or things going wrong in this kind of situation are possible. You don't want to be a tinfoil hat, but you also want to err on the side of protecting the people you love and the people you care about the most. So, you know, there's a system that I've kind of put in place for my family and for people around me that I feel is a little different than, hey, let's get 100 bottles of water and throw some food in the pantry and I'll get my dad's baseball bat and we'll, you know, we'll see what happens. And I think people miss kind of the main idea of what firearms are and the responsibility that comes along with them. You know, if something goes wrong, you're not going to be Rambo. You're not going to be out in the world suddenly and you're fighting off, you know, Red China from your front door. It's going to be a very different situation than that. So there's just a few things in order, like in our family, and I know we have limited time, so I could put those in kind of an order for you, that I found that I feel, and if you practice them and have those uncomfortable conversations once in a while with the people you care about, you can be prepared. So, you know, if you want, I'll go ahead and I'll just give you a few of those things up front. Or
yeah,
if you guys want to ask me.
I think that's so great. I you know, I've often thought in my head that I am Rambo, and I watched Wolverines repeatedly, and I think I'm prepared, but my guess is you're going to surprise me with a few of these.
Well, I think there's some simple things that people really overlook. So I have six things that I feel are pretty important to be responsible to your family and the people that you love. The first thing I always tell people is you need to have a travel and communication plan in place with your family and important other people that are connections to you. By that, I mean you set a predefined plan for worst-case scenarios, you know, depending on level of severity. Those kind of things would include meeting places with limits and time limits for them to meet you at certain places so you can gather and get to wherever you're planning on being safe together. This is a pretty simple thing, you know, but you have to make sure that you set very clear definitions of the severity of each type of situation that might happen. You know, having the discussion with this with the people you care about may seem a little over the top. It may seem silly or paranoid, but it could save people's lives. And you have to keep that in mind when you're putting together your plan. Early in an emergency situation, you know, you have to have a discussion even set up and plan to talk with your children. I mean, imagine children in this situation. This is a very confusing and disruptive time for them. You need to know how to explain to them how important it is following exact directions, respecting the people that are in your circle. And, you know, you've got to teach them that the world's a little crazy sometimes. You don't want to scare them and ruin their childhood with these kind of thoughts. But it's important that you have them prepared to understand they have to follow directions. And the most important part of this first step is that you stick to the plan. If everyone says, okay, phones are out, sirens have gone off, we're going to meet at so-and-so's place. Because at the beginning of an emergency, you have some time. Stick to your plan, okay?
Well, yeah, and Chappie, I want to mention that just a couple of months ago, we had a huge cell phone outage in this country, and I don't know if it affected you personally, but it freaked me out that morning. And it almost felt like a dry run. I don't even know what the what issue it was, but CB radios. I know so many people that have a CB radio, and that goes way back 30 years when it was popular for civilians. But we rely on these boxes so much, and they are just so fragile.
Well, it had to be so disheartening that 99% of the people just went to Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like there's no survival instinct left in some of these folks, and it's sad. So, which leads me to the next thing, and you just brought that up, which is to have an emergency communication set up. You know, don't expect your cell phones are going to be reliable. They may not be working at all. You may not have electricity. And remember, those devices also have a system for tracking your location. So you have to make definitive decisions based on your level of safety and severity early in a situation. And they could be great in the immediate in ascertaining the location of the people that you need to be in touch with. However, remember, they can be used by anyone that has access to the pings on cell towers to locate you. You know, it's your friend and it's your enemy at the same time. So my suggestion is, you know, go to Costco. Go somewhere. They have two-way hand radios, you know, that are good for a certain amount of range. standard small radios. People have forgotten about these small radios that run on batteries. You know, find a trusted source. Find a trusted station on FM or AM that you know is good in an emergency. You need to know what's going on around you. So establish an emergency communication setup. It's super important in this situation. You know, and that leads me to the third thing, which is don't panic. You know, irrational decisions that are driven by your fear and confusion can lead you to some pretty unfavorable environments.
Sure.
Just try to remember your home is your castle. Nobody knows your home like you do. And most state laws, even if it's a temporary thing, will protect you and your actions when you defend your home and your family. So if you're at your home, you really have your high ground there. That's where your food is. It's where your water is. It's your home court advantage. You know everything about your home. You know everything about your neighborhood. And generally, you know a lot about the people that reside next door. You know, so you know if those people are trustable or not trustable. You know, you have to think every decision through and initiate time to run different scenarios through your head way ahead of time and think about, how do I get out of my house in this situation if I have to, if there's an emergency? Do I have an emergency? Do I have something in plan with my neighbor next door that somebody's heading at my house? I mean, can I get to their house? You know, those are just things. And refer to rule number one, having that plan is your best defense. And, you know, don't go looking for problems. You aren't Rambo. Save your attention for the people in your plan. Focus on their safety and comfort. That's a super important thing to remember. And then I go to my fourth thing, is about firearms. Be prepared to defend yourself. You know, owning a firearm isn't a means to an end. Here's questions. You know, have you trained with it? Do you have sufficient supplies for each firearm or rifle? Is it zeroed in? Do you have even a small amount of hearing protection? I don't think most people realize when you fire a firearm in an emergency situation, it's loud. You're going to lose your hearing. You're going to be ringing. You won't hear for days.
Going to startle you.
And they've been watching too much Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone, you know, where they're just running through buildings firing off 45s all day. You'd be deaf. You won't be able to hear someone talking 3 feet from you. So, I mean, do you have some just simple earplugs, like the little foam plug-ins? Put them in your ear, you know? Do you have those accessible to you? You know, that's super-duper important. You know, you need to train with that firearm. You need to be able to hit, and my general rule of thumb when I teach concealed carry or when I'm teaching people safety is a simple piece of print paper, an 8x10 sheet of paper, put it at 5 yards, you know, put it at 7 yards, put it at 15 yards, put it at 21 yards. You don't need to play the game of let's hit a bullseye. That is the same size as the torso of the average human being, which is the area that you would be taught to hit.
Right.
To take away a threat. Hit the paper. And I would tell you, 9 out of 10 people that I meet that I'm trying to train, they can't do that consistently. And that means you could hurt somebody close by or on the other side of them or, you know, the wrong people. You end up hurting the people you care about. So training is super duper important. And which leads into the very next thing, which is like, are you setting good everyday habits that promote a strong and healthy lifestyle? In an emergency, you don't have to be an Olympic athlete. But you do need to be able to walk for several miles.
Right.
You do need to be able to take a quick jog if you have to. You got to be strong enough to help pick up a kid and run with them or do what you've got to do or keep them someplace. Or, you know, there's enormous amounts of things. So just every day, if you try to take care of yourself, it could be a simple walk around your neighborhood. You know, just walk. Get out every couple of days and walk. But while you're walking, look for places. Are there places that I could tuck into over there if something happened right here on the street? Is there, you know where things are. Know where the little stores are that have supplies in your neighborhood. Because Schnucks, Deerbergs, if something goes wrong, those places are going to be inundated with everybody. And they're going to run out.
Yeah, look what happened during COVID. I mean, you couldn't find toilet paper. Foodstuffs was gone. It was just insane.
Exactly. I mean, it's good to stockpile things for yourself. And look, that's a part of preparing yourself for the worst, but you're going to run out of the supplies. So you really need to find some place that is off the beaten path that is going to have some of those supplies, some of those things, and develop relationships with those small places, you know, so you have that plan in your wheelhouse. And if you do those kind of things, you're going to get through. I mean, the hard part is most people, even if they're stocked up pretty well at home, they might have 2 weeks worth of stuff to survive on. Maybe.
Well, it's good advice.
You can only hope that things are better.
I hope people take it, Brian. And even as we're talking, Bo Matthews is putting camouflage on his face and his cheeks, and he's going to get the bandolier out in a few minutes and go in the backyard and start training.
Well, laugh, buddy. Laugh all you want.
No buckshot. And again, and I won't take up too much time. Just the most important thing that I found that I carry with me every day, and it may seem a little crazy, I have a 3-day bag with me all the time, a backpack.
Yeah.
And that backpack has basically 72 hours worth of protection, basic supplies, emergency sleeping and weather protection items, fire starters, a life straw for water purification. I could drink out of a creek through the life straw, and it's going to give me fresh water that I can drink and isn't going to make me sick. Self-defense items, even a small pocket knife, anything like that, and something for communications and a flashlight. You know, those things are important. You have to have something with you. Let's say, worst case scenario, let's say the big boogeyman is the EMP.
Yes.
You know, you realize that if something like that happened, like your vehicles, if they're built after like 1986, they might shut off and you won't be able to start them. I mean, it's going to wipe them out and you're just going to have to get home. So you need to be prepared to somehow get home within 72 hours. And that bag will get you there. If you've trained yourself to, you know, take a night and sleep out in your backyard for a change. I know it's weird, but what if that happened to you in your real life? Would you be able, I would tell you, most people wouldn't be able to sit outside and sleep at night on a fall night because they get hypothermia.
Yeah.
They make little tiny bags, Mylar blankets, that literally are the size of a deck of cards that you can put into your bag that when you put yourself inside can keep you alive through a situation like that. And, and your body is going to be going through enormous stress. So you have to have at least 2 liters of fresh water a day or any kind of water that's not going to make you sick. And you really need a minimum of 1,200 calories. So a lot of companies make pre-sealed packaged foods. They're high caloric intake with certain amount of carbs, things like that, that you just eat. It looks like the size of a small brownie, but it has 400 calories, and you can eat 3 of those a day. You know, it's to get you home. The main thing is are you prepared for all of that? Because if you're not healthy and you're hungry, you're going to make bad decisions.
Brian, I know you do the CCW training and all. Are you offering this training for individuals?
I will teach people if they want to learn. And I have offered this before, and I've taught a lot of people. Some people are just, they can't get past the thought of the world being this idyllic place that everything is going to be okay all the time. I'm not training people to be paranoid. I'm saying, look, what do you have to lose by being ready? Just in case. I mean, do you love your kids? Do you love your mom? What about your 80-year-old mom sitting at her house? She's not going to be okay by herself.
Nope.
You know, do you love all those people around you enough? And again, Mark, you've known me for a while. My message from my stage is love and caring about people and helping people. And yes, I do that. I do it on a pretty personal level with people. I don't mind helping other people. And I think just getting past the stigma of, hey, you know, you've lost your mind, that I think that's a hard thing for people to get.
That's true.
Rambo style and have a camouflage truck and they're going bananas and they carry their carry gun with a big laser on it and a red dot and it looks like something out of, you know, RoboCop. That's kind of ridiculous carry.
Let's just be honest. I mean, we've had the cell phone outage I mentioned. We've also had warnings of earthquakes, the New Madrid Fault, all that stuff. Just look at the flood of New Year's, 2016 it was. It was all I could do to get home and into Jeff County because I was on the South County side. And I mean, I was scrambling. I'm thinking I got to drive all the way to Memphis to cross the river. having water for sure.
Wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And I'm down in Oakville, so I'm down south, and for us getting across, we have relatives that live across the river in Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, you lose that bridge, the JB Bridge, you lose any of our systems of bridges, like they're finding out in Delaware, you know, you have a transportation problem, and you don't have a way to get to your people. So
Brian,
I'm just saying, let's err on the side of caution.
Absolutely. Good advice, my friend. We appreciate you sharing some of that with us this morning.
Hey,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Guys, for having me. If you ever guys want to break down some stuff, I'm more than happy to join you anytime you'd like me.
Sounds good. We'll get you out. We'll go out in the woods someday and practice. How about that?
Hey, we will. I'd be more than happy to take you boys out for a little range time.
Brian Chappell, thanks for your time. We'll be listening and watching for Divine Sorrow's next gig, too.
It's coming up, buddy.
All right. We'll talk soon.
I'll see you soon, guys.
You bet. Brian Chappell there, lead singer and bass player for Divine Sorrow and all around a good guy. Telling you that.
That's great. Right.
You bet.
I took notes, by the way.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, it should.
I did. Okay. So, coming up on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, we are going to talk to Tim Chelsvik of Drury Outdoors about turkey season. I will tell you, he texted me a couple of weeks ago, said, hey, can I hunt a turkey on your property?
Ooh.
Like, all the turkeys on my property are in my freezer. So, no.
Too late.
That's next on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.